Right. Well, that's my son, and back here, I wanted to shout it out, but I was afraid I'd scare him to death. And I thought I was yelling at him. So, how many of y'all felt like we've been in a valley for a while now?
Yeah.
It feels like we're in a valley, don't it? And so I want to talk a little bit about the valley and some of the things I found and learned in the valley. And I'm sure some of y'all probably feel the same. I hope it'll be a blessing to you.
Amen.
And I hope it'll be a help. I learned a lot of things this past years coming up, past couple of years, dealing with Seven Pillars and the guys, and you look back and you think, man, I made a lot of mistakes. And you just learned, it's one of those things where you just want to help people now. I don't want to preach against everything everybody's doing. You just want to make it yourself, and you want to see your brother make it.
Amen.
And it just feels like we're in a valley. But there's hope, and we're coming out of it. And I've learned some things in the valley, and try to be a minister and a blessing to you. Genesis 14, let's start at verse number 8. We'll start at Genesis 14, verse 8. And the Bible said, and there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the vale of Sidon with, this is a tricky word here, Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five, and the vale of Sidon was full of slime pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Anar. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all of his goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. Let's pray. Father, Lord God, I pray you to help me, Lord, just for a few minutes. God, I can't do anything on myself, Lord. I'm not worthy to even open up this book, God. Lord, we just want to ask you to help tonight, Lord. I pray it be a blessing. And Lord, if it's just somebody that's going through a valley, God, I pray you'd help them and comfort them tonight. And I help them, and I pray, Lord, that you'd give them something from this to help them go on to the next stage, Lord. Get to the next mountain and through the next valley, God, please. Amen. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen.
Amen.
So the first time the word valley shows up in the Bible, in the King James Bible, is right here in Genesis 14, 17. And so the law of first mention states that the first time a word appears in the scripture, how that word is used sets the tone, associations, and basic meaning of the word throughout the rest of the scriptures. And that's not a guarantee every single time, but for the most part. And so, verse number 17, you see the valley shows up right after a battle. These kings went out and they had a battle, and they had to fight. And one of the things I found in the valley is that you're going to have to fight. If you want to make it through this life, if you want to make it and do something for the Lord, you're just going to have to fight. There's nothing else to it except for just a fight. And the problem is in our generation, our time, is that we want all the victories, but we don't want no war.
Yeah. Amen.
We want to stand on a mountaintop and shout it out. We want to praise the Lord. We want to have the August revivals. We want to have all this stuff. But when we're down in the valley, we just want to quit. I'm guilty. I've been going through a valley myself. It's hard. But I'm telling you right now, no church equals a valley. A valley equals a battle. And what are you going to do in that valley? I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's hard.
Amen.
The valley is hard to go through. And there's some things you're going to find in the valley, and that's one. And number two is to say, what are you going to fight in the valley, brother? Well, you're going to fight your flesh. Flesh is going to be one of the things you're going to have to fight in the valley. So you're going to feel all alone. You're going to feel like there's nobody there. Nobody cares about you. It's just me against the world. Sometimes you might feel like the Lord's forsaken you, but he hasn't. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. We'll just look at a couple of things throughout the Bible about the valley, and I'll try to be quick, mindful of time, and we'll be done. 1 Samuel 15, And look at verse 1 through 5. The Bible said, Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord had sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. We'll say, that's a pretty rough thing, kill all the babies. Said, kill them all. I got a little baby at home my wife's taking care of now. I thought it was done. You know, I thought we were all out of diapers. Just got to tell my wife. I said, man, I remember. I said, just glad that we don't have to buy no more formula, no more diapers, no more screaming babies. And then it wasn't a month later we got this baby at our house. Amen. I mean, that's the truth. But, I mean, kill the babies? I look at that little baby. I couldn't imagine going over to your house and slaying your baby. Could you imagine doing that? But that's what the Lord said to do. And he said, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. If you know anything in your Bible, Amalek's a type of the flesh. And the flesh is going to be waiting for you in that valley. And you check it out. You can look for yourself in Galatians 5. You see a whole list of the works of the flesh.
That's right. Amen.
And you'll see it in there, but see what happens in the valley is sometimes when we think that God's forsaken us, we start thinking that we can do things our own way. And you're going to fight that in the valley. And look at verse 7 through 9. The Bible said, And Saul smote the Amalekites. So he got a victory. From Havilah until thou comest to Shur that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. So you mean he killed the babies? But he spared Agag. And Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and will not utterly destroy them. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't the Lord tell them to destroy everything? So you killed the babies, but you didn't kill the king. You didn't kill the sheep. You thought some things that you could, down that valley, you thought, well, I'll just use my own discretion. The Lord doesn't know.
Yeah.
Some of these things are all right. I got a victory over this. You see, he got a victory, but then he thought, well, you know, I deserve this. Some of these things are good. We can spare this, and we can use this for the Lord's glory. The Lord said, destroy it all. Now, you're down in the valley. Some things you're going to have to get rid of. You're going to have to stop holding on to some of them things. I know, because I'm human just like you, and I hold on to things. And I don't want to let them go, and I don't want to trust the Lord with all my heart.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do.
That's right.
It's hard when you don't know. You know, this past summer, we were trying to buy this house, and man, Preacher and Alex can tell you because they're fixing the trailer up now. There was times we were walking through the trailer. I didn't know if we were going to fall a hole in the floor. I didn't have money to fix it up, and I'm trying to get my credit together so I can get a house. And the Lord gave me scripture, and I had to trust him with all my heart, with everything that went against me. And I had to trust him. It's a hard thing. That's a valley when you got to trust the Lord.
Yeah.
You're walking through the valley. You're not always going to be on a mountaintop. That mountaintop's not going to be as sweet if you didn't come to that valley.
Right.
You can't stay on a mountain.
Right.
And so look what it cost him. He says, destroy it all. But if you look in Romans chapter 8 real quick, and we'll flip back. Romans chapter number 8. I like to use a little scripture because my opinion doesn't really matter. What I got to say or think about it doesn't. So you have to bear with me if we flip a little bit. Romans chapter number 8. And I look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You start thinking that you're going to do it in your own power, you're going to mess up. You're not going to get out of that valley. You're going to stay down in there. One of the things I found in the valley is that you're going to have to fight the flesh. And if I'm going to beat it, I'm going to have to trust the Lord. And I'm going to have to do it his way.
Amen.
I can't get the victory over my flesh. I might get, like you've seen this in the passage, I might get a small victory over something here or there. But I'm not going to get through that valley and get the whole victory over that situation until I start doing it the Lord's way. You got to let it all go. Exodus 17:16 said, For he said, Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. You're going to fight that thing until the Lord comes back or until you die. As long as you're in his flesh. And I'm going to tell you this. I thought about this, and maybe you can think about this too. You're a body, a soul, and a spirit. The Bible says that your spirit goes back to the Lord that gave it. You're going to get a new body. And your soul is going to go to heaven or hell. So this flesh, Right now, it gives you such a hard time because this is the best it's going to get.
Yeah.
It ain't going to get nothing else. And that's why it fights you tooth and nail all the way. And it's going to keep fighting you and keep fighting you because it wants it right now because that's all it's going to get. This flesh, this corrupt, must put on incorruption. And it's going to change. And it's going to be left behind. It's going to be a memory. I'm going to say this too as a side note. Saul's disobedience cost him the kingdom. His disobedience not only cost him the kingdom, but it cost his son Jonathan not to inherit the kingdom. I ask you this tonight, what's it going to cost you? What's your disobedience going to cost you? My son sat up here tonight and sang a song, and to be honest with you, I can make a choice tonight. I could walk out of here and be a total hypocrite and go live however I want, and we'll see how he ends up. I bet you it affects him.
That's right.
I'll bet you that he won't be up here singing in 20 years from now. Maybe he'll follow some of the footsteps I went through, and it'll take him a lot longer to get here if he gets back. I'm telling you tonight, I got a brother that doesn't love the Lord. He hates God. He won't talk to me. He told me he doesn't ever want to talk to me again. You have to do it the Lord's way. Some people, you're just going to have to let them go. Number three, I found that there's giants in the valley. In Joshua 15:8, it talks about there was giants in the valley. 1 Samuel 17. We all know about the fight between David and Goliath. For the sake of time, we're not going to turn there. But David had to fight Goliath in the valley. And let's turn it real quick. 1 Samuel, we're just a couple pages over. 1 Samuel,
amen.
Chapter number 17. And we'll look at verse 1 through 3. 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socho, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Socho and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Guess what? They had to come down off that mountain. And when they came off that mountain, they were in a valley. And before they hit that other valley, before they hit that other mountain, they had to go through them giants. And you're going to face some giants in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. You might be going through a valley right now, but get back up. You might fall, but get back up. You can make it through it with the Lord. The Bible said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. You can't do it on your own, but you can get through it. Look at verse number 28. This is a crucial point. The Bible said, and Eliab, his elder brother, heard when he spake unto the men. This is David speaking now. His brother's talking to him. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? I'm going to tell you, when you're in the valley, and I said, and I mentioned something about my brother, and I'm going to tell you this, when you're in the valley, you're going to meet some opposition, not just from the enemy, but you're going to meet some opposition from friends. You're going to meet some opposition from family. You're going to meet opposition. Listen, you might meet opposition inside of these four walls in this church. You might meet opposition from brothers and sisters in the church.
That's right.
You going to let it stop you? It's a hard thing, but you just got to keep going.
That's right.
What's going to happen is either you're going to keep going and you're going to follow the Lord, or you're going to let somebody knock you out of the race. And we learned this, and Brother Mike used to teach this in Seven Pillars when I used to go there when he was running it. And he taught this. He said, the only thing that you're in control of is your next decision. And that's it. The only thing that you're in control of is your next decision. You can't control what Brother Squeaky does. I can't control what Peggy does. If preacher decides that he don't want to serve the Lord no more and he quits, God forbid. But if that would happen, I got to keep going.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what anybody else does. I've got my own race to run. And I've got to get through this valley. And I'm going to try and encourage as many folks as I can on the way. And I hope as many folks can encourage me on the way and we can make it through it together. But if you quit, I'm going to keep going.
Amen.
If I fall down, I didn't start out this way. It's not a recreation. I'm going to get right back up, Lord willing, by his power, and I'm going to try to keep going on, and I hope that you'll go
Amen.
With me. And you better learn that in that valley, it's going to be rough.
Amen.
What are you going to do? What's your decision? And we'll look at this. In 2 Samuel 8:13, I'll just read it. And David got him a name when he returned from smiting of the Syrians in the valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. David got a name in the valley. You understand something about that tonight is that he was in the valley, and his actions and the way he carried himself when he's in that valley got him a name.
Right.
You just heard me read it from the Bible. That's not my opinion. The way you carry yourself in that valley is going to get you a name. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Job 4:5, but now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. Brothers and sisters, tonight, the way you handle things in the valley is going to determine what kind of name you get. It's going to determine. And people are going to recognize you by name. There's people that came to this church that done things that I wasn't even in church. I was running around in the world acting like a lost heathen. Got saved and got right with the Lord. And if I see that person tonight, some things that were said about them because they allowed themselves to be in that situation, that's the very first thing that comes in my mind when I hear their name. Their name is associated with something they did. And you get down in that valley and you give up and you quit, brother, you're going to have a load to carry with you for a long time.
That's right.
1 Kings chapter 20. Look at 1 Kings chapter 20. Brother says, I'm telling you tonight, I've been doing that DoorDash thing. Brother Heath turned me on to it, where you pick up the phone and you get some orders and you go out, go to the restaurant, pick up their food, go to the next place, get directions, drop it off to the customers. And look, you know what I'm seeing out there? People are distressed in these valleys they're going through. They don't have the hope we have.
That's right.
This is all they have got. This is all they have. They don't have a hope. We got a great hope.
That's right.
A great hope. Yeah. And it ought to be an encouragement to you. When you get down in that valley, you ought to think about, you got heaven before you. No matter what happens.
Heaven.
I know it stinks at the time. And I know it's hard at the time. I want to quit sometimes. More often than not. But brother and sister, I'm telling you tonight, we got a great hope. We got something that the world doesn't have. And we might be the only Jesus that they see. We might be that only hope that they see. When you're down in the valley and they're down in the valley with you, and you're walking alongside, they say, well, what are you so cheerful about? What are you so happy about? Well, this ain't nothing, man. This life will be over soon, and I'll be on the other side. They think you're crazy.
Yeah.
They think you're a nut. But you just got to be consistent with it.
Amen.
And you just got to keep walking and keep walking with it. And eventually, they're either going to say, I'm getting away from him, or I'm going to see what he's got.
Yeah.
Watch what you do in the valley. 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. We'll find some things in the valley. 1 Kings 20 verse 22. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. Well, let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger. You know what he just said? He said, hey, you stinking bum Christians, when you're up on the mountain, everything's good. Let's fight down in the valley. Is your God going to be with you in the valley? Can you trust him down there?
Yeah.
That's what he just said.
Amen.
That's what he said to you. He said, you're a bum if you don't trust the Lord. Look at verse 28. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude in thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Hey, listen, he's still the God in the valley.
Right.
He's the same God that's on the mountaintop is the same God that's down in the valley.
Amen.
And you got to trust him. You can trust him. He's worth trusting, and he's worth living for.
Amen.
Amen. Exodus 3, if you don't turn there, but you can see reading Exodus 3, how many times did Moses go up on a mountain? God sent him back down. Come back up on the mountain. Go back down. And the people were still doing the same bull crap. They were still doing the same junk. Michael Shane's laughing because I said bull crap. Sorry. They're doing the same junk. Sorry. The same junk down there that they were doing when he went up on the mountain. You just got to keep going, man. Keep going. Exodus 20. He's the same. He's the same God. You're going to find that in the valley. Number four. You find the same things in the valley. Genesis 26:19. Let's look there real quick. Trying to be mindful of the time. Genesis 26:19. Let's look at verse 17. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Geron, dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Look at this. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. He found some water in the valley. The Bible says that good news from a far country is like a cold drink. Something like that. I misquoted it, but you don't know the verse. Listen, you're going to find some things in the valley that you're not going to find anywhere else. And there's people in this room right now that can testify to that. There's times that they've been through the valley that's been hard. And it's, I think my wife said it the other night. For the last 4 years, this church has lost one person. One member of the church has passed away every year for the last 4 years. That's a valley, brother. And it's continual. But we're going to cross the other side. We're going to cross the other river. We just got to keep going. Amen. One day, the Lord's going to call us up out of here, whether it be by death or whether it be by rapture. We're getting out of here. And we're going to get through this valley one last time. We just got to keep going. The Bible says in Proverbs 5:15-16, drink waters out of thy own cistern and running waters out of thy own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. Let me ask you this. If you never go through anything, how are you going to help somebody else? The Lord's going to let you go through some things so you can help somebody. You know, there's a probably, if the Lord was a Terry, I just talked about that little baby, my wife's niece that we got at the house. If the Lord tarries, it might be 15, 25 years from now if the Lord tarries. God forbid, I hope he doesn't. But if he does, that little girl, she'll grow up and she'll come. One day she might look back and there might be another little girl that was in a bad situation similar to hers. And she might be able to turn back and say, hey, somebody showed a hand to me. Somebody loved me and helped me out. That's the same thing the Lord did for you.
Yeah.
The same way. That's just a picture of what the Lord done for you. When nobody else wanted you. He said, when I passed by thee, and that was in thy blood, nobody wanted you. You were filthy and vile and disgusting. And he pulled you up out of that one. You don't think he can pull you out of this valley? I'm telling you tonight, he can pull you out of this valley.
Yeah,
he can get you out of it if you'll just trust him and hold on a little bit longer. Church ain't going to be shut down forever. I mean, I'm telling you, man, without church, I feel backslidden. It's hard, man.
Yeah.
It's hard. Listen, the easiest thing to do is get right with God. The hard thing to do is to stay right with him. It's easy to get right with God. All you got to do is, hey, man, I'm wrong. I need to get right with God and mean it. But it's hard to stay right with God. It's a battle. It's a valley. A couple more and we'll be done. Psalms 23:4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me. You're going to have to die to yourself. There's a valley that you walk through. And I'm making application here. I know there's a literal valley, but I'm making this application here. There's a valley every day where you got to die to yourself. Every day you got to walk through that valley. And Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That cross is a picture of death. Every single day you're going to walk through that valley. You're just going to have to die to what you want and ask the Lord what he wants and ask him to lead you. That's not easy, man. That's not easy because when I look in that mirror every day, I say, man, you're a pretty funny guy. You're funny looking, but you're a funny guy. People like you. No, people don't like me. They don't like me as much as I think they do. Sure, some people like me, but they don't like you like they think they do, David. They don't love you. The world doesn't love you. Right here, the people of God are the people that love you.
Amen.
That's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on helping each other get through the valley. Die to yourself. Who cares what you want? Who cares what color the carpet is? Who cares what happens? Pray, ask the Lord to help. The Lord will lead the church. And ask and pray the Lord will give the pastors wisdom. Who cares about what you want? Who cares about what I want? Ask the Lord to lead the church. John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Bible said to set your affections on things above. Let me ask you this. Can you be thankful for the valley?
Amen.
Can you thank the Lord for the valley? The Bible said to give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in all things. Can you give thanks for the valley? Can you thank the Lord sitting at home right now? Folks are sitting at home. Can you thank the Lord for sitting at home and not being able to be inside this church tonight? I couldn't do it. It was hard. I'm not going to lie to you. I have to repent and say, Lord, forgive me. But I was like, man, this stinks. I don't want to be sitting here in front of this stupid TV. I want to be in the church hearing the singing. I want to be there hearing Ruthie singing loud and preacher shouting. I want to hear that stuff in person. Can you thank the Lord for it? Can you thank the Lord for what you're going through? I used this example in Pillars one night, and them guys, and I won't say their names, you know the guys that stayed here, and they said, I said, how can you be thankful that you were homeless? I mean, can you really sleep underneath of a bush and it's raining on you? Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you let me sleep underneath of that bush and I was homeless. What was that? If I drove that old Dodge van down there and I'm riding down the street and me and Ryan and Nathan hanging out the window, hey, you want to come to church? That's how I get them in the van. Most people are not going to get in the van with you riding down the road and say, hey, you want to go to church? Sunday afternoon, it's hot out. They don't want to hear that stuff. You got air conditioning and food in there? We ain't got no air conditioning. Brother Jim said, no air conditioning. We ain't getting none. Forget it. I don't care how many deers you hit. You get no air conditioning. Well, listen, can you be thankful for that? Guess what? Them men that got in that van, some of them got saved. Guess what, brothers? If they weren't on the side of the road homeless, if God didn't allow them to be there homeless on the side of the road, they would have never gotten that van. If they never got in that van, they would have never came to this church. If they never came to this church, they would have never got saved. And they'd probably likely be on their way to hell right now. And that might have been their only chance. Can you thank God for the valley? I know that's a stretch. Some of you here might say, well, I'll never sleep underneath a bush. You don't know. You don't know what the future holds. Amen. Boast not thyself of the morrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Lastly, turn to Joel chapter number 2 and I'll be done. And I'll say this. If you're not saved tonight, and I know there's probably people watching and sitting in the living room with their kids, and some of the kids, even in this very church, might not be saved. You say, well, that's a harsh thing to say, brother. I grew up in church my whole life. My whole life I grew up in church. I said a little prayer when I was a child. And I just thought, well, I'm saved. I wasn't no more saved. I wasn't no more saved than the rich man in hell right now. One day I came to myself like the prodigal son, and I asked the Lord to save me. There may be some folks in here tonight that know somebody that's not saved. The best decision you could ever make is to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul and repent. And I can't find Joel to save my life. Daniel, Hosea.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah. I'm looking for it. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Exodus. Too far. All right, where's it at after Ezekiel? Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, brother. No, I can't read it. It's too big for me. Man, how bad are your eyes? Man. I found it anyway. I can't read it. It looks like HD to me. Joel chapter number 2. Where are we at here? Where am I at? Hold on. He got me all sidetracked. Joel chapter number 2. Oh, here we are. Joel chapter number 3, sorry. Look at verse number 13. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near, the valley of decision. You're in the valley right now, you've got a decision to make. And I know that's the day of the Lord, and I know where that's at doctrinally. I know what all that's about. But what I'm saying to make an application to it is that you've got a decision to make. Sinner, if you're lost tonight and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you've got a decision to make. Why put it off? You see the things that are going on in the world around you. You see all the chaos. And this ain't even scraping the iceberg. This little pandemic, I mean, it's a thing. People are dying. People are getting sick. But the wrath of God is going to come on this earth after the church leaves, and then hell and then the lake of fire after that. You got a decision to make. Why not make that decision tonight? You've heard the gospel. You've heard it time and time again, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How that he came, he lived a perfect sinless life. He lived a life that you couldn't live. And he died on the cross for you. And he shed his blood that you might be saved. And as simple as this, admitting that you're a sinner and that you can't make it on your own. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Tonight, you got a decision to make. If you're lost, you need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you. Christian, if you're going through a valley, you got a decision to make. Which way are you going to go? And see, you can go the way you were going. You can keep going, and then you can come to a crossroads where you can go left or you can go right. That's a different direction than what you were at. But will you turn to the Lord? See, the difference is that you can make decisions. You can change the way you're doing some things. You can go left. You can go right. Or you can keep going the way you're going. But will you turn to the Lord? Or will you do it his way? Tonight, I challenge you, if you're going through a valley, lean on the Lord. Some of the things I found in the valley, sum it up. You're going to get a fight in the valley. You're going to fight the flesh. You're going to fight giants. And you'll learn in the valley that he's still God if you allow him. If you allow him to show you, if you stop fighting him, stop resisting him, he'll show you that he's still the God of the valley. You'll find some things in the valley you'll never find nowhere else. And there's some experiences down in the valley that you can't get on a mountaintop.
Amen.
The Bible said, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. And so we can go into the store, Brother Squeaky, and we can go to Popeye's Chicken, and we can get a big box of chicken, and we can all taste it, and it tastes the same to us. You might like it, I might not, but we can share that experience. But when you see something, you see it one way, and you can look at it the same way I can see it, but that taste is different. When you taste and see how good the Lord is, that's a personal thing. I challenge you tonight, try to find something in the valley that we're going through right now. Try to find something that the Lord can give you your own experience.